The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. There are fewer better ways to start off a Wednesday morning than with the Beatles, in particular that song. That's what I think.
I agree.
It's a nice song.
I'll go along with that.
Nice tune, nice group. I think I heard about them once when I was young.
And they're the little guys from England. But I've told you this before. Like, I was in high school when this came out, and it was a moving moment for me.
I think I was in high school when I Want to Hold Your Hand came out.
Yes. But see, you know,
our guest is staying out of this one.
Well, yeah. No, I think the Panama City Pops has done Beatles tribute last year.
Beatles, yes.
We entered our last concert with Beethoven and the Beatles.
That's right.
In blue jeans, yes. No less, right? It was lots of fun, too.
It was a lot of fun.
And I was surprised by how many folks wore blue jeans.
Yeah.
It was really made it fun. And they said to me, the board, they said, what can we do this year? I don't know. Maybe red hats or something?
I don't know. No, we're speaking with David Ott, who is the conductor of the Panama City Pops. And you guys did do some interesting things over the year. Last year, you were at Sweet Bay several times.
Yes.
Which is an unusual environment to have the orchestra. It's a beautiful environment to have the orchestra
in. It really is. Only thing is the weather is so warm and uncomfortable, but hey, that's part of the fun. The great thing about the Sweet Bay concerts was that we were able to reach an audience that we don't necessarily get when we play in the Marina Civic Center.
Sure.
Our concerts were free to the public, and so it gave us a good chance to expose ourselves and to an audience that, you know, young children. That was the exciting thing.
Sure.
See so many out there playing around, having a great time, and hopefully we'll do that next summer. In fact, that sort of brings me around on November the 24th, the day after, 25th, the day after Thanksgiving, we'll be doing an outdoor concert at Aaron Bassett Park.
Oh, very good.
Open to the public, a lot of Christmas music, fun evening.
Well, what do you have coming up first? When does the season actually get underway?
That happens this weekend. And October the 21st, Saturday night, Marina Civic Center, 7:30. We have a great program. We live by the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes.
That inspired the programming. Almost all of our pieces in some way or another relate to water, whether it's the sea or rivers or just the nature of water itself.
Well, it sounds very good. What kind of stuff do you have on there?
Well, we start off with a piece that's not anything to do with water, but it's the festive overture of Shostakovich. Shostakovich lived under the shadow of Stalin. He was either could man imprisonment, exile to Siberia, even execution. If Stalin wasn't happy with the composer's music, really, his life
done.
Could be... Yeah, it was over. And he died in 1953. In 1954, Shostakovich would write the festive overture. It is just joy. Blazing speed, fast, furious, exciting, thrilling music that just... It was almost like pent up for 50 years inside of him in one burst of energy. 6 minutes of music that just... Well... We hang onto our hats as we play it. Great challenge for the orchestra.
So what made you choose that piece?
Actually, it was one of the board members.
Really?
Who had a dream that this orchestra could play the festive overture. And I thought, ooh, that's going to be a tough one. But we're going to do it. And it's going to be a great performance, too.
So let me ask you this, because folks may not know. When the Pops does pick a piece of music like that, are you using, like, the junior version?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, see?
No, that's a good point.
Some people don't know that.
Well, when I look through the library, I oftentimes see something arranged by, you know, Beethoven first, somebody arranged by. And these are done oftentimes by high school orchestras.
Right.
Maybe the hard transition part, some of the... material in there that could be softened has been done by an arranger, but to have it done originally as the composer intended, that's what we're all about.
Of course.
A good example is we're doing Fingal's Cave Overture, which is by Mendelssohn, and it's really not so much about Fingal's Cave itself. Fingal's Cave is a cave off the Scotland coast, but it's more about the sea. Mm-hmm. And the split personality of the sea. The sea can be restless. It can be highly energetic, or it can be peaceful, tranquil.
Sure.
And this piece just flits back and forth. And instead of describing the cave, he sets the sea with its power, with its beauty, with its mystery. And finally, we get into the cave, where it's a lot of fun. And then we have this sort of a heroic rescue that happens out of the music. But never are we far away from what the character and the split personality of the sea. It may be the piece that I'm most anxious to conduct, although the others are just as intriguing to me, but that one offers so much in interpretation. And you probably have three conductors sitting down discussing it, and you're going to get a half a dozen ideas on how to play it, because there's so much there. I often wonder if a composer really understands his own music at times. Hmm. I've had pieces played, and a conductor or a performer, particularly a performer who does a concerto, who lives it and breathes it and studies it for 6 months at a time, will say, oh, I've got a new way to play this section. And he'll be like, wow, I never thought of that. You know, here I'm the guy who wrote this, and somebody's coming, you know, this could go faster, or this could go slower. What about this is louder? This is mysterious. I never saw this before. Those kinds of things are, to me as a composer, the most thrilling parts about being able to be a composer. And so when I listen to other composers, conductors, as they interpret the music, I'm always amazed how they can find things in the music. And water has always been a mystical thing to composers anyway. Sure. And I think Mendelssohn may be one of the first composers to begin to really explore how water can be interpreted in music. By the time we get to Debussy, you know, now you've got the sea and the dialogue between that. Right. Now you've got kind of a different approach, but to lay the seeds out, that's about the sea itself. That's what Mendelssohn has accomplished. Then the next big piece on the concert is kind of really the climactic piece, will be the Moldau of Smetana. Gorgeous piece. I bet you, as Scott studied music, still remember the first time you heard it.
Yes.
And I do too, because it's just so magical. The great thing about it is it's so highly descriptive. It's almost like sitting and watching a slideshow.
Yes.
Because it begins with this little bubbling brook that just where the flutes play, they kind of bubble up out of the water. And it's very clear, sparkling music. And that's how the Moldau begins. It's the sort of like the Mississippi River is the United States. It's the big river that everybody knows about. Well, that's the Moldau. So you got this one little sparkling brook, and then another brook comes in, but it's a little muddier, a little slower flowing. And they form together. Just like in Pittsburgh, they have the three rhythms, three river stadium,
right?
But there are only two rivers.
Interesting.
Yeah, you've got the
Allegheny.
Yeah, well, you've got the Allegheny come from one side and the Monongahela from the other. But they together they form the Ohio.
They form the third
so
one,
they
yes.
really it's two rivers that become one, and that's the sort of the idea of the Moldau here. So when the cellos come in, now we see this muddy flowing river, and then this
the main theme.
Yeah, the theme comes in, and I understand that Smetana had hoped that might become the national anthem.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's a very nationalistic piece.
Yeah, and it's such a beautiful melody anyway. Well, then after the rivers have been established and we're floating down it, we come by a hunting scene where the horns announce, you know, the fox hunt, and the trumpets are responding, and back and forth it goes. And then we float down the river a little bit further, and we come to a country dance, a peasant wedding, and we hear the folks gathering, having a good time, and then this slow polka breaks out, and everybody's having such a great time. And then we watch the nymphs at night as they dance on the moonlight of the river surface. And then we go by the St. John's Rapids, which is the most exciting
That's
part
the
of
best
the
part.
It's exciting, it's thrilling, everybody gets involved. So who can outplay the other guy? And then finally, as it flows out to sea, what a magnificent concept. What a magnificent execution of the concept. Smetana may not be a household name like Beethoven was, but he certainly stands as the great Bohemian composer who stands shoulder to shoulder with Dvorak. And everybody knows the New World Symphony. I don't think, it probably could have, but I mean, Smetana sets the stage for Dvorak. And the great successes of Dvorak. He awakens him to the bohemian kind of music that Bohemia, that he wanted to say about his country, saying, you know, we're sick and tired of this German domination. We want to express our own kind of music.
We're talking this morning with David Ott. He's the conductor of the Panama City Pops, and we'll talk more about the music and the Pops coming up in just a bit. We've got the Rolling Stones, which really don't have anything to do with water at all, or the Pops, unless you play some of the Rolling Stones.
We don't have any in our repertoire right now.
We might need to work on that.
Okay.
We'll take a quick break. We're listening to The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. You just can't always get what you want.
I've, you know, over the years, I've actually learned that, Scott.
But you can get what you need.
Yeah, so far.
Philosophy from the Rolling Stones on a Wednesday morning here on The Mix.
And a great philosophy it is.
Yeah, and I think that would make a fantastic Pops tune.
I do too.
You know, it probably would.
We need someone to arrange that.
Why don't you arrange it for them, Scott?
Because they want they would like a good one.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, you are sort of qualified for that. They don't want my
arrangement. I did not have a composition degree of any nature.
Okay. You don't need to have a degree to write music.
And
no?
I think there's only four chords in it, so it's not a big deal.
Well, I know, but it's the fact that David Ott's orchestra has
like
more
than four
instruments.
As long as they all know what 1-4-5 is.
Well, I suppose.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about writing for an orchestra, you may have 60 players, but there rarely are more than 4 or 5 different things happening at one time, because you can't take it all. You're either doubling or you're doing much of the same kinds of stuff. So 4 isn't so bad after all.
No, 4 isn't so bad, is it?
So, but then why is the your piece of music that the conductor has so big?
Well, that's a good question. It's like an atlas. In fact, if every page is full, I guarantee the piece is not going to be a success. Yeah. You need to have big holes in it, because the beauty of an orchestra is the soloistic sounds, like a single oboe or a single flute or, you know, French horn with a small bit of accompaniment. And then when the full orchestra comes in, that's where the power is. So you need to have that give and take.
Did Berlioz subscribe to that idea?
He did. No, everything didn't. Had to be much.
Yeah, had to be a lot. We're talking with David Ott this morning, who's conductor of the Panama City Pops, and you were telling us a little bit about some of the neat things that are coming up in this season. In fact, it opens this weekend.
Yeah, we already talked just a minute ago. That's Saturday night, Marina Civic Center, 7:30. Just call the Civic Center to get tickets if you want. By the way, I'll offer 2 tickets if you want to talk about that, Scott, in just a minute.
We will indeed do that.
But in the second half, what I've just told you earlier was about the first half of the program. The second half of the program begins with On the Beautiful Blue Danube. And that's the famous waltz set by Johann Strauss Jr. It's interesting because Johann Strauss Sr. never wanted his son to be a composer.
Really?
Right. Johann Sr. had a friend named Landler, and they had a breakdown, a fight between them, and so Strauss went out to sort of establish he would be the greatest composer of the waltz at the time, which was all the rage in Vienna. We're talking about the early part of the 1800s. Johann Strauss was quite successful writing waltzes. And his son, he said he didn't want his son, Johann Jr., to be a composer because he saw all the work that was involved. You have to arrange for the orchestra. You have to all this stuff going on. So he actually beat the boy, said, "You will not be a composer." Well, that worked for a while, but by the time Johann was about 18, he didn't like the fact that his father had 10 children, but only 6 were with his mother. And so he decided to take Papa on head-to-head.
Oops.
And the papers in Vienna were just filled with all the gossip between father and son. And finally, the son proved that he was a better composer than his father. And I reminded this to the orchestra the other day. On the Beautiful Blue Danube, it's listed as Opus 314, which is another way of saying Work 314.
Right.
Yeah. And the score is got to be 60 pages long. And I said, "Do you realize what it takes to get to Opus 314? Mm-hmm. How many pages of music? How many waltzes?" It's just simply overwhelming. At one point, he had 6 separate orchestras playing his music. And so he's trying to juggle all that as well as writing new waltzes. And even Brahms, who didn't have anything good to say about any other composer except Dvorak, had a great deal of admiration for Johann Strauss Jr.
Sure.
So if Brahms thinks a lot of him, I think we all ought to think. And it's beautiful music, fun. It's all familiar to us. All right, then we've got just some more popular music after there. Kara Bishop, great soprano, will be singing Under the Sea and also a song called Sailing On. And I'm anxious to introduce Panama City to a new singer to the area, Ben Clements, a beautiful bass baritone, and he'll be singing Old Man River. And I expect the crowd is going to really
love Ben.
Yep.
Well, we do have a pair of tickets to give away for the Pops concert this weekend, and we'll go ahead and do it now. You can give us a call if you're caller number 2 at 850-873-3300. 3546. Call in and we'll get yourself a pair of tickets. We've got weather up next and some of The Who, and we'll continue talking with David Ott, Dr. David Ott, the conductor of the Panama City Pops, on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. The Who on 90.7 WKGC in My Generation. It's 9:37, and we're going to give tickets away again. So write the number down. We've got a pair of tickets to give away for the Pops concert that opens this weekend. The number's 850-873-3546. And before we go to our next break, we'll call for that. In the meantime, there's some history that happened in this day.
There is. And the most thing in history is this is the day we bought Alaska.
I saw that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Anybody know the date?
I love Alaska.
I do, because I'm looking at it.
Anybody have an idea?
And what was it called? What
1867.
That is
correct. 1867. Wow. That's absolutely right. I promise I heard somebody
1867 is
whispering
correct.
Somewhere.
And it was called Seward's Folly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seward's Folly.
It's also my father-in-law's birthday.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Happy birthday.
Is he in Alaska?
Mr. Ott.
No, he's...
That would be appropriate, though.
In 1968, John and Yoko were arrested for drug possession.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not sure. I don't know if it was the first time or the last time, but they were.
Yeah, they did indeed. And on this day in 1988, are you ready for this?
88.
Roseanne.
Oh.
Roseanne aired on, I don't even know what channel it was.
Boy, that aired for a long time.
Didn't it? And it's back. Or it's supposed to be coming back.
I'm not sure I ever watched it.
You never watched Roseanne?
Wasn't that ABC?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was before
yes, you're correct.
There were a lot of bad
ABC,
things.
Yeah.
It was certainly not public television.
No,
it was not public television. groundbreaking in a sense, and then broke a lot of rules as well. So I don't know if that's considered groundbreaking
or
just
breaking. Were you a fan?
I know I watched it sometimes.
But you're not going to...
I was a John Goodman fan.
Huh. Yeah.
Big John Goodman fan. Not so much Roseanne, but in the early days she was funny, and then she just kind of got...
Weird.
It didn't stand strange. The test of time for me.
But it's coming back.
But you're talking about it's coming back.
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook, therefore it must be true.
Yes.
that there's a reboot of Roseanne that picks up where it left off. Which,
and guess what happened in 1977?
I wasn't born yet.
Okay, but it's you're a big baseball fan. It's big
I am.
Day. Okay. Mr. October, 3 home runs in 3 swings.
Oh, yes.
Jesse Jackson.
Yes,
huh?
Yes. Yeah, right. Yes. Reggie, Jesse.
Reggie. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, there's a difference there.
Yeah, there's a difference there. Yeah.
But, Reggie Jackson.
Wasn't
Jermaine
one
Jackson.
Of them over a 500-footer? I think 535, as I recall.
What? Yes. He doesn't have the rest of us are looking at computers. He's not. So,
absolutely.
That's actually pretty impressive.
Well, yesterday, it was Albert Pujols that day in history in 2000-something or other. He smashed a go-ahead home run to push the Cardinals into farther into the postseason. It was like a 500-and-some foot.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, he crushed it, and I remember watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose he still is, but he was an incredible ball player.
Yeah.
Albert was. We were watching one night the Cardinals totally throwing the World Series away, and it was one of those games where it wasn't quite over yet, and we thought, it's late. Let's just shut it off. They're done. And I said, well, let's just watch one more half inning. And that's when Albert Pujols hit a home run, broke the whole thing open. They ended up winning. It was insane.
You know what Jackson's batting average was in 1977?
No idea.
0.756.
Wow. Impressive.
It's very impressive.
Yeah, I didn't think that was possible. But I'm sorry, 755 in 1977.
Was that in the World Series?
No, that was for the year.
Well, hopefully tonight we can improve the stat.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that was in the series. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that would make sense. Right.
5 homers. Yeah.
Hopefully tonight we can improve the stat for the Lady Commodores volleyball team. This is their last conference game tonight at Billy Harrison Fieldhouse. Don't make a face. They need your support.
I didn't make a face. I was looking at the computer screen.
6 o'clock tonight.
Throw
that will also
bus.
Be simulcast here on WKGC.
Producer Brandon will be running the Starship.
That's right. And also on GCTV. They play, who do they play tonight? Pensacola.
Pensacola.
Yeah. So that's going to be a tough game.
It will
be
a tough game.
You want to be there to support them.
Yeah, come on out and support the Lady Commodores or watch it on GCTV or listen to your local public radio station, which is us right here.
In HD.
In HD.
And tomorrow, more Commodore Sports on the Mix. Coach Jay Powell will be here.
Talks a little b-ball.
Yes.
He's a good guy. Very good.
Yes.
We have in the studio this morning with us David Ott, who's a composer. He's conductor, Panama City Pops. And your new season kicks off on Friday.
Friday, 7:30.
Saturday.
Yeah. Saturday.
We have a dress rehearsal on it, but the concert itself is Saturday night, 7:30. It's Marina Civic Center. It's all about the ocean, about the sea, about water.
Very appropriate.
Well, it is, and we're excited for
sure. Have you ever composed anything about water?
I did a piece called Niagara. Mm-hmm. I was actually, it was part of a three-part series called Vertical Shrines, in which I took three things that had height, as the Devil's Tower, sure, in Washington. But the Niagara, the thing I was fascinated about Niagara is it's so turbulent before it gets to the waterfalls. And then after the waterfalls, you're taken by that. But then it's the turmoil at the bottom, at the canyon. So I just tried to capture all that. You know, just kind of the natural climax in the middle, sure, was right there. You
know, so. Well, I remind everyone again, I first came to know David Ott because I was a student at Millikan University in Decatur, Illinois, and we did a piece that he was commissioned, mm-hmm, to write. Yeah. So my question is this: how difficult is it to write when you're handed a list of cities in the state of Illinois?
Oh, actually, the powers of B at Millikan, uh-huh, said nothing about the text.
Okay.
They just said, write this piece. And, I remember a friend of mine told me there was a headline in the city of Illinois, the state of Illinois, there's a city called Normal.
Yes.
There's a big university there.
Yeah.
And there's also a small town called Oblong. And there was a little headline in a paper that said, Oblong woman marries normal man. And I started to look around the state and see what were all kinds of, yeah,
Midwest
could be made
humor
into a city. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's another composer who also did something similar. It's
really?
Called, he did an album called Come On, Feel the Illinois. And it's I don't know if he's not pop, he's sort of indie. Sufjan Stevens, and he wrote an entire album, and every song is one of the cities in Illinois. And some of them are just bizarre.
Yeah.
But we have a metropolis. I mean, there's a Superman. I mean, the Superman Museum, one of them anyway, is in Southern Illinois.
Is
metropolis,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he writes a thing about that, too.
The thing I never knew about Illinois is a whole section called Little Egypt.
Yes.
It was way in the southern part of the,
yes,
state. That's why Cairo, but yeah, is looks like we were likely to say Cairo because,
yes,
of use of Egypt. Do you know how?
No.
That's called
No idea at all. We also have a little Nashville there as well.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's an interesting state.
Well, I went to Indiana University, and right next to Nashville, Indiana, was a town called Nawbone.
Okay.
In Indiana. So,
sure.
I mean, there's some nuts cities there.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I don't know how they named all of those places, but...
We've got Wewahitchka here. So
we do have Wewahitchka.
Or, mm-hmm, Tuag.
What's that?
Tuag is
we
good.
We have a place called Tuag, mm-hmm, Florida, sure.
Tuag?
Yeah, it's near here, yeah. I'm
really?
Sure
it's,
yeah, there's
reaches there.
Famous speed trap.
I don't know that I've ever heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
An op.
Oh, yeah, well, that's Alabama, though.
Yeah, that's Alabama. Yeah.
Sure.
There's some
well,
good...
Well, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, it's 9:46. We will take a phone call. We'll take listener number two, caller number two, for a pair of tickets for this weekend's pop concert. Give us a call at 850-873-3546. That's caller two at 850-873-3546 for a pair of tickets for this weekend's pop concert. In the meantime, we'll listen to the B-52s and Love Shack on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. The Mix on 90.7 WKGC, the B-52s and Love Shack. Well, we have in the studio with us this morning composer, professor, doctor, conductor, David Ott, who's the conductor of the Panama City Pops, and your show opens this weekend on Saturday, your new season. What time?
7:30.
At the Marina Civic Center.
And we just want you there. Come hear the new Pops Orchestra. We are
retooled it a little bit.
Yeah. We're a little smaller, a little leaner, but meaner.
Okay.
We're ready to do the job. I'm excited about the orchestra this year. We've got a great program. Our players are playing top notch. We will. What my dream is to have, quote unquote, a big city symphony.
Sure.
That stands shoulder to shoulder with Mobile, Pensacola. You know, this is the area that attracts people. I've read that St. Joe Company plans 170,000 homes to be built in the next 30 to 50 years.
Wow.
That's a third of a million people. The beach, the water will draw them here. Culture will keep them here. And we are, I think, a big part of establishing a wonderful cultural life. As people come to the area, they hear us, they'll want to stay. Over the years, I want to see us grow in our season. Right now, we play four regular concerts in our season. We also do a concert the day after Thanksgiving, 6 in the evening. We'll be out here in Panson Park. This will be a concert that's sort of around Christmas. Chance to hear the orchestra for free, if you'd like. But we need to be doing 8 concerts a year in our season. And, you know, this is a long-range vision. And I'm looking at this, and I told the orchestra this at our first rehearsal this year. We're beginning a 15-year road to excellence. And we're taking a major step ahead this year.
Sure.
You'll hear an exciting orchestra. But over the next 15 years, we'll become a really, truly outstanding orchestra.
So are what you're saying, are symphonies competitive? Are you keeping tabs on Pensacola and Mobile and making sure you are
I go to their concerts. I sure do. I learn a lot, too.
Okay.
Both Scott Speck, who conducts Mobile, and Peter Rupert are the good friends of mine, but they're wonderful conductors. I watch them carefully, learn ideas. My daughter is principal harp in both of those orchestras, and she said, "Oh, Dad, here's an idea." Mm. And she shares that to me. You know, and I'm always asking, you know, what do they do in the first rehearsal? What do they do in the second rehearsal? How is that different? You know, and in my head, one of the problems that we have right now is that we have local people that make up about 60% of our orchestra, and then we bring auxiliary players in, many of whom come from Tallahassee, who are string players. We're deficient in the number of string players in
the
Panama City.
They're hard to come by.
They are. But meanwhile, over in Tallahassee, I mean, they've got a plethora of them.
Yeah.
And, well, they've got a little music school over
there. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And it's a great school.
It is a great school.
When I taught at DePauw, out of the 15 faculty members, 5 of them had degrees from FSU. Yeah, it was that good. So we bring those players over, and only we had a rehearsal last Thursday and last Monday with our local people only. So I just had a handful of strings. Tomorrow night is my first rehearsal with all the players, and that is when things get thrilling. Then I can start talking about the details in the music. Right. I can begin to say, "Here, we need more of this." The big issues that you face with an orchestra is rhythm. That we all play together is one. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell them that the baton is the only common denominator.
Right.
That's the
right.
one thing. They have to watch that baton. And then it's balance. You know, that the tuba player isn't covering up the cellos or the trumpet isn't covering up the... Or we need to hear the
trumpets
flute.
Always want to, too.
So sometimes I say, you know, talk to the hand.
Exactly.
But people really want to do the job right. And when you have a team and that kind of attitude permeates the group, then you can begin to make real progress.
Very good. David out this morning on the mix, and you can check out the Pops Orchestra this weekend at the Marina Civic Center.
Right.
Come back with us again, and we've got volleyball tonight. We've got more of the mix coming up with the Clash and the Buggles, and we'll round things out with some Tracy Chapman and Give Me One Reason. You're listening to The Mix on your local public radio station, NHD 90.7 WKGC.